Appreciate that good song, ladies. Praise God, I've not forgotten. Amen. I'm like Billy Kelly. He said he'd never forget if he lived to be a million. He'd never forget. Amen. The day the Lord saved him. Praise the Lord. Thank God for it. Boy, I appreciate these songs. Good services tonight. Good Spirit of God. Been a blessing to be in the house of God today, hasn't it? And boy, it's been good. Good and good to be with God's people and just to enjoy the good things of God today. And got a message on my heart tonight, just a, I guess maybe kind of a simple thought, but I do believe the Lord gave me this thought, and so I pray to be a blessing and help to us tonight. Not going back to Ephesians just yet. I want to give you something the Lord gave me out of Joshua chapter 23. You'll turn to the book of Joshua chapter 23. Been doing some reading, studying through Joshua lately, and Joshua and Judges, and I read this verse the other day, and I'm sure maybe you know how it is whenever you read and study your Bible and you're praying, and every now and then you'll just catch a verse or series of verses, a passage or something that will just kind of stick with you, and maybe you've just never... You know you've read it before, but you just, I don't know, you just didn't see it before or something. I don't know. You know how it is. That's, you know why that is, don't you? It's because the Bible's alive. It's because it's a living book. And it's not just a history book. It's a living, and it's not just an academic book. It's a living book. And the Holy Spirit does that for us sometimes. He brings things to our attention that we've not seen before. And that's why you can read the Bible time and time and time and time again and get something new out of it every time, if you're looking, if you're looking. And so, Joshua chapter 23, you don't have to stand tonight. We've already stood some. I'm just going to read one verse here out of the book of Joshua, chapter number 23. And look in verse number 14. Chapter 23, verse 14. Bible says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord God, your God had spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on this thought of some things that never fail. Some things that never fail. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for the blessing it is to be a child of God. Thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we have not forgotten the day that you saved us from by your grace and saved us from our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we, Lord, those of us here tonight that are saved, we remember very vividly the time that you saved our soul and you worked in our life. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, I thank you for what's been done already, the good songs and the good fellowship, the giving that's been done. Lord, I thank you for the good meal we've enjoyed together today and the good meal we'll enjoy together here in just a little bit. But Lord, as we've come to this time of preaching now, I pray that you will bless us and help us. Lord, I believe you've given us this thought, so I pray that you would give us liberty and vocabulary. Help us, Lord, to say what you want us to say, nothing more, nothing less. Pray that you'd be magnified, and Lord, your people would be edified, and you'd give us what we need from your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. We look here in the book of Joshua, and of course, Joshua is a book of victories. Matter of fact, I only know of one defeat ever in, with Israel, with Joshua at their command. And so, anyways, Joshua is a book of victory. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Boy, just a mighty man of God, succeeded Moses. And I tell you, Moses was a man of God, but, you know, thank God for him. Lord used him in a mighty way. But let me just tell you, what can be really, really difficult in particular ways is being that second man. being the man after Moses. That can be really difficult. I mean, whenever you follow men, I mean, I know a lot of young preachers, a lot of young men that have come into churches, gone into pastor churches and following, I mean, just real great men of God. And that can be really difficult. And matter of fact, a lot of times it doesn't even work out. You take a man that's been the pastor of a church for many, many years. Maybe he started that church, or maybe he was at that church for many, many years, and a lot of the people came up under his ministry, and they loved him and respected him, and he was their pastor. And rightfully so, that's right. Amen. That's the way it should be. A lot of times it can be difficult whenever that man either retires or passes away or moves on for the next man to come in behind him. It's hard for people to ever not compare him to that man before him. And just the fact that Joshua God was able to use him to win many battles and give victory to his people is just really a testament of what kind of man he was. Kind of a testament to what kind of people Israel were too, because you can't lead who won't follow. I mean, if somebody's just not gonna follow you, I don't care how good of a leader you are. I mean, you can't lead them. I mean, and so God moved in this situation in a mighty way as Joshua succeeded Moses. And boy, just what a man of God he is. And at this point in his life, they've seen some things. They've seen some victory, seen God do some things. And God's using Joshua, and they're winning battles, and they're taking the promised land, and God's using them. But he makes this statement in verse number 14 of chapter 23, just reminding the people really what's going on. He's actually exhorting them and warning them against going against the Word of God. And he makes this statement here in verse number 14 really to just remind them that nothing God has ever promised them to do, nothing God has ever told them to do has ever failed them. And I think that's very important for us in this day and in this hour. As we look around, so much has been said. I almost get tired of even talking about it and bringing it up. Just concerning the turmoil, the sickness, the things that have happened, things that have taken place in the last year, all those things. And even in our nation, it looks like there's probably some dark roads ahead politically and nationally in our government, all those things, maybe even economically. We don't know what all is going to take place there. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, really, no matter how bad all of those things get, we still have to look around and say that God has never failed one time in fulfilling what He has promised to do within us. If we are saved by His grace, if we are following the Lord and living for God, even though there are many things that fail and will continue to fail in the world, God has never failed us yet, and He's not going to fail us. You know, one reason that things fail, it's all part of the curse. One reason that nations fail, it's because of the curse. One reason that anything made by the hands of men, one reason these bodies wear out and eventually begin to fail us, and some of you are experiencing that and have experienced that, one reason that happens is because of the curse. Because of sin, because of what it has done to this world. It was never God's plan for failure to be an option. It was never God's plan, His intention for man and for His creation, that failure be something that ever even existed. He desired to walk with man and to fellowship with man and for His creation to be untouched by sin and the defilement of sin. God did not desire that. And so really it's the curse that has caused all these failures. And it's sad and it breaks our heart sometimes whenever there are things that we think are unstoppable, if you will, sometimes fail in critical moments even. Seems like the times that you need somebody the most, or the time you need something in particular the most, that will be the moment that it's going to fail you or they're going to fail you. I mean, how many times have you been let down in a really, really critical moment, a really, really critical time? I think that's one thing that is so heartbreaking for so many people, and myself included, to see the nation go the direction that it's gone, because for many years it seems like America has just been bulletproof, man. It just seems like, you know, I mean, God's hand has been on the nation and we've been blessed and we know our history. We know where we came from and we've seen all that God has brought us through and all the blood that's been shed and all that's been sacrificed and all that's been given. And you know, it's like you think, Man, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Nothing, America could never fall, man. But I think we're seeing that because, again, getting back to because of the curse and because of sin, if America doesn't turn back to God, America certainly can fall. That's not God's fault. It'd be man's fault. And man forsaking God. That's what's so heartbreaking sometimes. Just whenever anything that we think is unstoppable or something that we've always, somebody or something, that's what's so heartbreaking about whenever there's a preacher or there's some type of spiritual hero that we really love and respect and reverence. And to see them fall, it's so heartbreaking because you think, man, they'll never fail. How could a man with the touch on his life like he has, how could a man that's being used the way he's used, how could a family that's being blessed the way they're being blessed and being used the way God is using them, how could a family or a man or a ministry like that ever fail? The truth is we see them fail sometimes. I would say over the past year we've seen our medical system fail to a degree. I'd say throughout the past year, we've seen where money has failed. We've all seen that. Matter of fact, the Bible calls, only thing the Bible says about riches is that they're uncertain. that's the only certain thing you can have about riches is that you can be certain that they are uncertain. What you have today might be gone before morning. I'm saying that things fail. And boy, that can really be heartbreaking. You know, friends can and will fail you at times. Hey man, banks can fail. That's happened before. And I don't care how much the federal government guarantees our money up to a certain amount. At the end of the day, if it fails, it fails. No. I mean, things fail. Banks fail. Again, I've mentioned this. Our health fails. Men fail. Things just fail. But you know, every good thing that God ever promised us, we still have today. Now, we can look around at our lives, we can look at the country, we can look at society, we can look at the past year, we can look at our families, we can look at all these things, we can look at our financial situation, we can look at all those things, we can take an account for everything that is our life. And when it's all said and done, we would still have to say that we've still got everything that God promised us we would have. Everything eternal about you is still eternal and it's still the same right now. Anything that God, nothing eternal about us has changed or ever will change. And so I want to give you just a few things tonight. I know this will be probably a really simple message, but I want to give you just a few things that never fail. And I think this is important for us to consider. It's important for us to think about because, boy, look out, man. I mean, so many church people and so much of the world, I mean, they're looking for hope in all the wrong places. They're looking for hope in things that are most certainly going to fail them. And then they're heartbroken when it does fail. Listen, if you are hoping to get truth from any media outlet out there, you are going to certainly fail you. You will certainly find failure in that. I mean, if you're looking for truth, I mean, the truth shall make you free, but you're not going to find truth out there. I'm saying that people are looking for truth, and they're looking for hope, and they're looking for answers in all the wrong places. Where, you know where we need to look? We need to look in the things that will never, ever, ever, ever fail. And there are some things that will never fail. First of all, I want to say that the Lord never fails. I know that's very simple. I know that's very elementary. And you'd probably say, well, Jacob, I already know that. But I want to look at a couple of verses here. Back up just a few pages back to your left to Deuteronomy chapter 31. At the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, we see the transition begin to take place where Moses is kind of passing off the scene and Joshua is coming on the scene. And I want to look at what it says here. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse number 1, it says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel." Now let me stop for just a second and ask you a question. It's not a trick question, so just answer. Who's doing the talking right here? Moses. That's what it says right there. Moses went and spake these words. So Moses is doing the talking, all right? It says, "And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Some of you know, maybe kind of understand that, right? I mean, anybody here 120 yet? Not. But some of you, Sister Sherry says she feels like it sometimes. You know what it's like not being able to go out and come in like you used to. You know what I'm saying? He said, also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon, to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen, praise God. Moses, the man of God, stands up and tells Joshua, the man coming after him, he says, listen, I'm not going, I can't go. I'm too old, and also God's told me I'm not going to be able to go. He said, so you're the man now, God's anointing you, you're going to carry the work on. Amen? He says, don't be afraid, God's going with you. It's not you doing the work, it's God doing the work, and God will not fail you. I want you to know tonight, no matter what happens in this world, in this nation, or in your life or in my life, God will not fail us. We can look for Fox News and we'll find failure. We can look to human beings around us and we will find failure. You can look to the White House and the courthouse and the schoolhouse and you'll find failure every time. But with God, you will never find failure. He will always see us through. He will always get us through. He will always do everything He's ever promised us to do. That's a pretty good promise coming from the man of God there. But I want to show you something. It gets a little better. It gets a little better. Turn a few pages back over to your right. Maybe one page or two pages to the book of Joshua chapter 1. So the end of Deuteronomy is the transition being made. Joshua's already kind of been anointed as the man that will carry on the work, and the torch is somewhat passing to him. Joshua chapter 1, all that happens. It all takes place, and I want you to look at what happens in Joshua chapter 1. Moses told him all these things in Deuteronomy. Look in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Now I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question, so just answer out loud. Who's doing the talking now? The Lord's doing the talking now. Now, Moses was God's man, and he was telling him what God said. That's pretty good. You can pretty much take that to the bank. But can we all just be honest that it's a little better to hear direct from God? Isn't it nice whenever, I mean, it's one thing for you to hear the promises in the Word of God preached. It's one thing for you to hear messages, and it's one thing for God to work through me or any other preacher to work to your heart and speak to your heart and give you a message from Him. But isn't it something totally different? Whenever you're in a still small voice, you're laid up somewhere and you're tucked away somewhere, you've steeled away somewhere to pray, and you're reading your Bible and you're walking with God, and that still small voice comes into your soul and He gives you a promise directly from Him. He gives you a verse. He gives you a passage. He gives it to you and He drives it into your heart straight from Him. Amen. It's not coming secondhand. It's coming straight from God. Amen. Isn't that good when that happens? Well, look at what happened. Look at what happens here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, he heard from the man of God, and that's pretty good. I like hearing from the man of God. I like when God gives the man of God a word for me. But buddy, he heard this straight from God. He heard God say straight to his soul, I will not fail thee. And I want you to know tonight, God has told us he will not fail us. God will never fail. Let's sing that song. Jesus never fails, and he will never fail us. You say, oh, Brother Jay, this is all Old Testament, and he's talking to somebody else. Well, over in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. Amen. He is with us all the way, and he will always see us through. The Lord will never fail. If you want something to put your hope and faith in, you better put it in the Lord, because he'll never fail. What about this? The Holy Spirit never fails. I mean, I know we look around and we're like, man, it just doesn't seem like people are getting saved today. It doesn't seem like God's working today. It doesn't seem like God's moving today. Oh, he is working. He is moving. He's still just as strong and just as powerful. He's still doing all the things he's always done. Why? Because the Holy Spirit never fails. He's not taking antacid somewhere and trying to figure out what he's going to do. He's not got stomach problems and got upset stomach because he's so worried about what's happening around here. The Holy Spirit is still in control, and he's still doing everything he's always done because the Holy Spirit never fails. Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit was given to man to stay by him and in him. Amen. We receive an appropriate blessing from the Holy Spirit. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Whatever you need to serve God and be enabled to serve God, the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Amen? Hey, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We are taught by the Holy Spirit. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit. We're secured by the Holy Spirit. We are comforted by the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit's alive and well, and he's working in your life if you're a child of God. He's not going to fail either. John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. And that's what the Holy Spirit is a comforter. That's how I know whenever the rapture happens, I'm getting out of here. Because the Holy Spirit's going at the rapture. And Jesus said, I'd never leave you comfortless. Amen. You don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit departing from you and leaving you all by yourself where you know you don't know what to do and you've got no help. Jesus said, I'll never leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit will always be there. He'll always bless you. He'll always guide you. He'll always rebuke you. He'll always chastise you. He'll always convict you. He'll always encourage you. He'll always give you grace. He'll always give you help. The Holy Spirit will always be there, and he'll never fail. The news media will fail, the president will fail, but the Holy Spirit will never fail God's people. Never, never, never. What about the Lord's compassions? You know they never fail. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Well, I'm thankful for the things that I can recall to my mind that give me hope. Amen. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Amen? God's compassions do not fail us. You realize that God the Father is not some mean old tyrant sitting up on the throne, kicked back, just waiting for an opportunity to strike, waiting for an opportunity to drop the hammer, waiting for an opportunity to judge. You know, God don't want to do that. It breaks His heart to have to judge man. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He's done all He's done. That's why He's accomplished all that He's accomplished and sacrificed all His sacrifice for us, because He's not some tyrant up there in the sky waiting to strike you with a lightning bolt. No, He loves us and He cares us and He is moved with compassion over us. Amen. We're not careful. We get the idea. We hear so much judgment, condemnation preaching. We get the idea that that's just what God is. He's just this mean, hard, distant God that's just waiting to strike us dead. Now, He is holy, no doubt about it. And if we're judged, it won't be His fault, it'll be our fault. His holiness demands judgment. But He's not looking to judge. He's not wanting to judge. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And His compassions, they never fail. They never fail. You realize over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, we read that verse a lot of times where it says He deals with us as with sons. And if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. The context there and the verses there really are dealing with chastisement. They're dealing with God straightening us out whenever we do wrong. But I think sometimes we maximize that aspect of it and we minimize too much the fact that He deals with us as with sons. You know what causes a father to deal with a son? His compassions. His love for him. We are the sons of God. He is a heavenly Father. And all the aspects that a father would have for his child, God has that for us. He desires that for us. Matthew 9, verse 36 said that Jesus, when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them. In Hebrews 4, 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How is it that we can even pray? His compassions. The fact that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that is directly linked to us coming boldly unto the throne of grace. That's directly linked to us praying. We don't pray based on our merit. We pray and get heard by God based on His mercy, based on His compassion, based that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen, you can never say a prayer right. And you can never be right enough to be able to stand before God and hear God. But listen, brother, if you will fall on your face before God, and if you will beg and plead for mercy, and if you will just offer yourself on the altar and ask Him for grace and ask Him to hear you based on mercy, He will hear because His compassions fail not. I was thinking just the other day, just this past week actually. Boy, God's taught me so much through this thing of being a father. I tell you what, man. I read was reading a book on the home years ago, and one guy talked about how the home, having a family and having a home, is spiritual boot camp. And that's what he said. Man, I tell you, God does things in your life that you would never get if you never were married and had kids. He just helps me with some things. And last week, or this past week, we had a situation, and I'd been changing out light switches in the house, updating the light switches, and Gideon and Jude, they were in one of the rooms there. They were right next to me. And I don't really even know what happened. I just know they were back and forth like they always were, and Judah's squealing at Gideon. Gideon's, you know how they're just kind of off to the side, and you're not really paying attention. You're doing a thing. But I hear something go down. I hear like a whack, you know, and then Judah starts screaming. And I just turn and just with haste. I'm being real open with you now. I don't feel like I handled this right. I'm just being honest with you. I feel like I failed as a father in this. I wish I'd handled it differently. I will next time. But I don't know what happened. I just turned. Judah was crying. Gideon was standing there. And evidently, Gideon had hit Judah. Found out later, it was likely provoked. You know. But all I knew in the moment was Gideon hit Judah. And I asked him, I said, did you hit him? And I don't know what the answer was. Either way, I spanked Gideon for hitting Judah. Now, Judah probably should have got it too. Probably worse, because he was probably provoked. Judah is very much an instigator and a provoker. But nonetheless, in my haste, I believe I handled it wrong, and I spanked Gideon. And he was crying, you know, like they always do. But, you know, I mean, he needed a spanking, so he got a spanking, you know. But he ran in there to his mom. And as he was talking to Hannah, and the way Judah was standing there, you know, it kind of started to set in and kind of dawn on me. He was provoked in that thing. He was crying to Hannah. And boy, he was all in tears, you know. And he was talking to Hannah through those tears. And of course, Hannah was telling him, well, you know, you can't hit and all those things. And one thing that he said that has really aided me since then, he said, but I had it first. You know, through his tears, you know, he said, but I had it first. And that's when I really realized, okay, he was provoked, you know. I spanked him in haste, and I should have assessed the situation. Either way, as a father, my compassion's really got a hold of me in that. Did he deserve a spanking for hitting his brother? Yeah, probably. He still needed a spanking. But I tell you what, that thing really got a hold of me. And I went in there, and I called Gideon. I said, Gideon, come here. Let's go into the room. We went to the room. We sat on the bed. And I just sat down with him, and I started explaining to him. I told him, and I said, Gideon, I want you to know that I love you with all my heart. And of course, he's crying, you know. And I said, I want you to know that I love you with all my heart, and I do not like to spank you. I don't want to spank you. I said, it breaks my heart to have to spank you. And as I was telling him that, I started crying. I started crying, sitting there having this conversation with my son. And before long, he started seeing me crying. And he wasn't as concerned about getting a spanking anymore. He was concerned about me. He was very, very serious. And he was hugging me because I was crying. And Gideon's 3 years old. He's just a little over 3 years old. And I would say that in the 3 years he's been on this earth, that's one of the most precious times of fellowship I've had with my little boy right there. Just a situation. And just explaining to him why he gets spankings, because he has to please the Lord, and I want him to do right, and I want him to please the Lord, and I want him to make God happy, and all those things. And explain all that to him. And boy, we just sat there and talked. But I said all that to say this. You know what created that moment right there? I know there was man involved in that, and there were some things that weren't necessarily all handled that, and so it's not like God, I understand that. But you know what created that moment? Created that moment and that sweet time of fellowship between a father and a son was the compassions of a father. And you know what will create some of the sweetest times of fellowship? Some of the most precious times of fellowship? You know what will create scenarios for that with you and God in your life? The compassions of a father. A child talking to a father through tears. A child crying out to a father with a broken heart. And boy, I believe with all my heart, because I am a father and I know. And if he's a father and if he feels the same way I feel, I know that gets a hold of his heart. I'm saying his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. Very quickly, let me give you just one or two more. What about our treasures in heaven? Our treasures in heaven never fail. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus is there and he's about to go away and he's talking to his disciples. And he says to them, "Fear not, little flock." Seems like I can almost just feel his compassion just through that statement. "Fear not, little flock." He says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. He's letting them know that, listen, it's the Father. It's what He wants to do to give us blessings and to give us all the eternal rewards. He wants to do that. And that's why He's telling them, He says, sell what you have. That's why we use the term sell out and serve God. The greatest thing any of us could ever do in this life is sell out and serve God and buy the bags that hold the blessings that never get old. Because if we put all of our life and if we invest into this life and the here and the now and this world, we're going to come up empty when it's all said and done. We're going to come up empty. But listen, all the rewards, all the things that we lay up over there, they'll never fail. They'll never fail. God's laying it up. God's keeping a record. God's keeping an account. And anything we lay up over there, you can invest in the stock market and you'll certainly see some failing there. Here pretty soon, I believe. But everything we invest up there, it's not going to fail. What about Christ's love never fails? Ephesians 5 verse 2, it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, Calvary proves His love. Calvary really proves what love even is for us. It's a picture of what love looks like to mankind. We wouldn't even know what real love even looks like without Calvary. It educates us on love. Because at Calvary, He went all the way and He did not fail. At any point, He could have stopped right there and said, enough. No more. And by the way, He had the right to do that. He had the right, He had the authority, and the ability. But Jesus never fails. And His love never fails. He went all the way. And if you think that His love never came up short at Calvary, you think it's ever going to come up short in your life somewhere along the way? You think He's ever going to stop caring, stop loving us and being compassionate and caring about us? Last of all, His Word never fails. That never has. It's never failed. You're there in Joshua. I want to read you one last verse here in Joshua. Look in Joshua 21. Now we see where God told Joshua He would never fail him. And in Joshua 21, verse number 45, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Joshua said this. Joshua 21, verse 45. He said, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Everything God ever said He would do, He did. And I want you to know that His Word will never fail. Everything He's ever said He would do, He's going to do. Everything He ever said would come to pass, it's going to come to pass. That's why if you want real news, if you want what's really up to date, if you want to know what's really going on, if the world wants to know what's really going on, they need to look in this book right here. Because this Word will never fail. If we're looking out there for truth and looking out there for hope, listen, we'll be grasping at straws. We'll find failure. But His Word never fails. Psalm 119 verse 89, He said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen. Now why should anyone ever expect God's Word to fail? It hadn't yet. It hadn't yet. So in days like these, don't look to what is certain to fail. I think we need to be reminded of this. Don't look to what's certain to fail. And don't be discouraged when what is certain to fail falls. I know that can be difficult. We put hope and we kind of have confidence in some things and confidence in people. When it fails, it can be very disheartening. But at the end of the day, our real hope ought to rest in things that will never fail. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In 1 Peter 5:7, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, the burdens and the turmoil of this life, as much turmoil as there is, those burdens get a lot easier to carry when we let him carry them. When we cast our care upon Him. Because He has so many things. There are so many things about God and things of God that will never fail, even though there are things in this world that are certain to fail. But these are some things that will never, ever, ever fail us. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it tonight. I pray, Lord, You would encourage our heart. Lord, that You would exhort us and help us, Lord, to put all of our faith and our hope and our trust in You. Lord, knowing that You will never fail us. Help us, Lord, to look unto You, the author and finisher of our faith in these days of turmoil, these days of uncertainty. Lord, knowing that You will see us through. I pray, Lord, that You would bless that one here tonight, Lord, that maybe has uncertain things in their life. Lord, they've tried to carry it by themselves. I pray, Lord, tonight would be the night they'd find their self and find their place on an altar. Lord, rolling that burden over on You. Lord, letting You carry it for them. Lord, that they might find Your yoke easy and Your burden light. Lord, that You might carry that load and carry that burden for them. Lord, I thank You for all that You've promised us and all that You've given us. And I thank You, Lord, that all of it will come to pass and it has come to pass. Lord, I pray that You'll work in our hearts and our lives tonight. We'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.